Hi, guys. Just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello. Hi, everybody. How you doing today? Welcome to The Cure for Chronic Pain. This is Nicole Sachs. This is my podcast. Yes, indeed, you have found it. Maybe you weren't even looking for it, but here you are. And happy everything. Happy whatever holiday or non-holiday you like to celebrate this time of year. I know that we're leading up to Christmas. I myself am Jewish, but I also celebrate Christmas. My wife celebrates Christmas, but also I've spent my life celebrating Christmas. And so we've been lighting the Hanukkah candles every night, and then we're preparing for Christmas. And actually, this podcast is airing exactly a week before Christmas, and then there will be the Christmas Day podcast. Wow, I just realized that when I looked at the calendar, so that's awesome. That'll be fun. I'll have to figure out something interesting and cool to do there. But for the purposes of today, we are here today with a real-time heal that I completely loved. I love this series. I love talking to people without a script, without a plan, and seeing what comes of it. Sometimes it's a little messy because, you know, we don't know each other and we don't know what's going to evolve from the conversation, but it's always so, so good. And today I have Angela on. She wrote me a really compelling letter about how the fact that she was totally disabled with physical pain worked her butt off and got rid of all her physical pain, but that now felt completely blocked in growing emotionally and dealing with her emotional blockages and pain. And I thought, wow, what an interesting real-time heal to look into what is essentially the heart of the matter, because the reason that we channel our emotional reservoir into all sorts of physical conditions is because the brain and the nervous system sees the emotional pain as more of a danger than the physical pain. And so it's kind of remarkable to realize that that is what we end up having to deal with. We end up having to sit with our emotional reservoir, with our past trauma and with the suffering that we've endured. Angela grew up in a very abusive alcoholic home, and she's dealing with the results of having to be incredibly closed and protecting herself for the first 19 years of her life. And so we are going to delve deep into that and see how it evolves for her, which is really quite a beautiful conversation that I enjoyed a lot. So I'm looking forward to sharing that with you. Just to share what's going on with me is that my anxiety course is live and on sale. Go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. There are two courses, Freedom from Chronic Pain and Freedom from an Anxious Life. Both, I am hearing, are really helping people. So that means everything to me. And if you're looking for a gift of self-care for yourself or care for others, that could be a really great idea for you. So all information at thecureforchronicpain.com. If you want to learn more about my work, click on the resources tab on that site, and it has so many resources to help you out, many of them free. All right, my loves. Well, I can't wait to share this real-time heal with you, so I will not blah, blah, blah on any further. I wish you love and light. I hope that the holiday season is treating you well, that you're able to treat yourself well through whatever challenges it is posing for you. And I am happy to share with you this real-time heal with Angela. Enjoy. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Real-Time Heal. I am so excited for today's conversation because I really enjoyed Angela's letter about how we are going to talk about the emotional healing after the pain goes. So welcome, Angela.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you reached out. I immediately, when I got your letter, was immediately, I was intrigued because I don't often have people focus on the emotional stuff. Everybody wants to focus on the physical pain, but I do understand that you've done a lot of work to get to where you are. So why don't you just start with kind of telling us your story and where you've come from in this journey, and then we can get to your main question.
Okay. Sounds good. So I want to start really with my childhood, because as you know from my email, like that's a lot of what's hanging me up now. So I'm going to start there. So growing up, I had a very abusive alcoholic father. I had a battered and abused mom. So my childhood was really just filled with nothing but neglect and just feeling really alone. And it's really a hard thing to kind of get people to understand, like how horrible that was, like, you know, just living in utter fear. And that was the first 19 years of my life, was just this utter fear of, I never felt safe. My stepsister and my stepbrother left the house when I was really young, so they kind of just left me alone. And I don't hold that against them, but it's just something that happened to me, and I was really just alone in that situation. And I'm trying to think of like a couple examples that stick in my mind just to like show you and show people like how bad the shit was. You know, like I remember going to my friend's house. You know, I had this one friend and I slept over, and this was elementary school. And my mom picked me up the next day and she was all beat to hell. She had like bruises everywhere and she had just been like beat by my dad. And I remember feeling so much guilt, like, oh my God, I was having fun with my friend and this was happening to my mom. And then like, I remember coming out for a snack one time and like looked outside on the front porch and he was like choking her. And it's this is like the shit that is in me that is just like, this is what I come from. So it's like, it's hard. And then like, so growing up like that, I really never felt like I could connect with other people. I always felt so separate. From my earliest memories, like in elementary school, like I would like hang out with other kids and just not fit in. It felt like we were just completely from different worlds. They would talk about like TV shows or whatever the hell. And I was just like, I don't even know how to relate to you guys. So it was very isolating, very hard. And looking back now, like, of course, I didn't know what the hell TMS was back then. But now looking back, you know, some of the TMS symptoms I had was like panic attacks. I remember being driven to the hospital and no one knew what it was. And it ended up being a panic attack. And we were all like, what the hell is that? But, you know, and I had insomnia and just a lot of anxiety, obviously. So that's kind of like the baseline of my childhood. And that was like 19 years of my life. So it's very much chronic and it's very much large in my mind.
So let me ask you a question or two. The first question I have is, you did say an alcoholic abusive father. Was it your father or your stepfather?
My father.
Okay, because you mentioned a stepbrother and sister that moved out of the house.
Yep, they had a different dad, so they couldn't fucking stand it anymore, and they moved in with him.
Got it. Okay, so you were very much alone because you were the only product of your mother and your father.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you mentioned a couple things about your father's treatment of your mother, which was obviously horrific. What did it mean for you? How did he treat you? How did that energy end up on you?
It made me feel like I didn't matter at all. It made me feel like the best thing to do was to just be quiet, not seen, not heard, and like kind of hide in my room. Like just be this like non-entity of a person, because that was easier than trying to deal with it.
Yeah. Well, that makes a tremendous amount of sense, because when you saw the energy that was moving toward your mother, God knows you didn't want to get that.
Yes. And I mean, he never physically abused me, but there was definitely verbal abuse towards me as well.
So when you say that was the first 19 years of your life,
yes.
Is that because you moved out at 19?
Yep, that is what happened.
So of course, as we both know, it's not 19 years, it's your entire life, because even when we move out of a physical situation, that kind of emotional and mental echo stays with us, that, you know,
yes,
for as long as we are with us. And so, yes. Okay. So I understand. I understand what I need to understand. So go on in whatever way.
Okay. Yep. So, jumping off from when I moved out, you know, obviously 20s were, big deal, graduation, getting my first job, getting married, getting divorced, all of that stuff. I mostly lived by stuffing all my shit down, all of that shit. Cause I didn't know what the hell to do with all of that damage. So in my 20s, the TMS stuff was very much similar, you know, panic attacks, depression, insomnia. I also had flashbacks and nightmares, stuff like that. And after my divorce in my late 20s, I started going to therapy for the first time. Okay. And then I think it was helpful, but the only way I can explain it is that I don't really feel like it ever got to like the core of me or what. I don't know how to explain it. I just felt really numb. I felt like there was just like a rat's nest of bad shit in me, and it was not getting to like the core of that. So that's kind of how my 20s and early 30s went. And then now, oh, my dog, I don't know if you heard that.
Okay.
So we'll jump to January of 2019, when like my life literally like fell apart. So I think what happened is my body and my mind was just like, you can't live by stuffing the shit down anymore and being numb. So in January of 2019, I had like this complete mental breakdown. It was the deepest, darkest, it was a clinical depression. I mean, it was just a black pit of despair. It was the worst day of my, or worst time of my life. You know, I think that lasted for a couple months. I went back to therapy. I got put on antidepressants. And I was able to come out of that, pretty quickly, but then right on the heels of that. So I'm starting to feel better. And now this is like a few months later, and my body like broke down. It was like, I had my mental breakdown, and now I was having my body breakdown. And at the time I had no idea what it was. It was like, I had the all over pain, like the terrible pain that I had no idea was fibro. I got diagnosed with fibro a couple months later. I had no idea what that was. I would have like the fuzzy fibro fog, that I guess they call it, where you can't think straight. My ears felt like they were swollen and were like, you know, infected. I had like eczema and rashes, heat and sound intolerance, which was really interesting in my cubicle, because I had to play like fuzzy sound, like white noise.
Like a white noise.
Yeah. I had to play white noise literally so I wouldn't have to hear people talk. I mean, it was like horrible. And I had like, I mean, the list goes on and on. Dizziness, fatigue, tinnitus. It's literally, my body broke down. And I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, I just, my brain, it felt like my brain broke down, and now my body broke down, and I had no idea. So, I had been, of course, going on Dr. Google, and I'm like, well, let's see what helps with fibro. And I had been diagnosed, and they're like, well, you should, exercise. So I was like going to walk at the gym, and I'm like, well, I need something to listen to. And I literally stumbled upon Curable's podcast, and I'm like, oh, this would be kind of interesting. Having no idea, like,
oh my God,
having no idea that it was TMS and that I was just going to like transform my life. So that was like a blessed moment. I don't even know how to explain me stumbling upon Curable. So I was like listening to their podcast, and I had downloaded their app, and I actually started feeling better like pretty quickly. It went in increments. And it was like, for whatever reason, it was so easy for me to like believe. Like, I never struggled with the belief part of it. I was like, this makes total sense. I I feel in my soul that this is what's happening. And so I was like able to believe right away. And so I started feeling better. But like my past was haunting me, and I'm like, oh my God, like, I feel like I can't do this alone. And in one of Curable's podcasts, they had mentioned the Pain Psychology Center. So I reached out to them and I'm like, guys, this is my last hope. Like, you guys have to help me. And they were just fantastic. So that was like, where are we at now? I think we're at early 2020. So that was earlier this year. They just helped me so much. My pain is gone. It was like so transformative. And then, still listening to Curable, I think it was May or June when you were on their podcast and I heard you and I'm like, oh my God, I love this girl. So I bought your book like that day and, started doing your work. And like, that is literally when like I knew that, you know, I had at least the TMS in the physical stuff, like, beat. Like, I'm like, this makes sense. I read your book twice. I listened to every single one of your podcasts. Like, it's such a valuable tool, and it has kept me sane. It has kept me healthy. My TMS is gone as far as like my physical stuff.
So that's incredible. I want to point out to people, because a lot of times people listen to Real Time Heal and they're like, what the hell? I want to hear somebody who's suffering exactly like me.
Yeah.
And I want to tell people that there is this method that I teach is simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. And the simple process is believe, do the work, and patience and kindness for yourself. Now, Angela, I don't know how you're finding patience and kindness, and we'll talk about it in a moment.
Yeah.
But you definitely jumped right in with belief. And those of you who are struggling with belief, I just invite you to say, I'm going to fake it till I make it. You know, I'm just going to say that, you know, I know that this can help me because it helped others. And I'm going to try to, you know, do the work and immerse myself in the content. What you did is sort of best practices for getting yourself done with physical pain. But the reason I chose you for a Real Time Heal is you invited me in your letter to take it a next step further. Because what Angela said in her letter was, I know that you're usually doing these Real Time Heals about physical pain, but might you be willing to do a Real Time Heal that's specifically around getting done with the emotional pain? Because one of the reasons that we somaticize our emotions, we somaticize our emotions, which means we feel them in our body, is because feeling pain emotionally can be perceived by the brain and the nervous system, and honestly, even by ourselves, as more painful than feeling our physical pain. And so our body protects us with the physical pain so we don't have to feel the depth of our emotional pain. And so I think what I'm understanding, and I want you to clarify it for me, Angela, is you're now finding yourself having let all these physical symptoms go, feeling tip-top in terms of your physical self, not being able to make any headway through your emotional stuff. That's what I understood. So give me some feedback.
Yes, that is exactly it. And the best way I can explain it is, it's like, and here's kind of a funny story. I was like super nervous about this, of course. And so yesterday, like when I found out we were going to do this, like all day yesterday, it was like TMS all day. It was like IBS stuff and feeling like I was going to throw up and like a little bit of fibro pain. And I'm like, oh, I see you. Like, how are you guys? Like, like I'm so good with the physical stuff, even when symptoms come up. And of course, as you always say, they do come up. Yes. And things come up still for me, but I'm not feeding them fear and they go away. So it's like, yeah, I'm good there. But man, the emotional pain, yes, is like where I am hitting several walls.
So give me a better picture of that. Say more. Tell me what it feels like that you're sort of like trying to get toward and then hitting a wall.
Yep. So I have like a whole list here. I guess I could just like hit you with them or, sure. Or you can just interrupt me. So I think part of where I'm struggling is because I feel super fucking damaged. I feel like I am like what happens when parents don't parent right or something. Like I have a friend who has two boys, and she is like the tip-top parent. She's taking parenting classes, and she is like raising these boys so beautifully. And because she does, like, because she cares about them, she wants them to have like not the issues that I have. And I just can't help but like compare myself to like, quote, normal people. Like, well, holy fuck, I'm really damaged because look what happened to me for 19 years. And so I think that's holding me up. And then the fact that like that makes me feel trapped in myself and that trauma, it just feels really big. And
do you feel that that's like one thing on the list in itself before you move on? Because I would like to comment on that, unless I'm interrupting you.
Nope, go for it.
Okay, so what I'm hearing there is you feel alone.
Yeah, I guess I do.
Because when we feel unique, when we feel like we are less than as compared to others, that aloneness can be a tremendous block from emotional healing. Does that resonate with you?
Yes. Yes, it does.
So I think I'm going to kind of put that in my little hopper and we're going to keep moving. But one of the things that we're going to need to talk about is the fact that you are so not unique. You are not damaged. This stuff is not permanent. This all can be healed 100%. You can end up not only as good as whatever these boys turn out to be, but better as a result of your trauma. So you need to know that.
Okay. I guess along with that, like you, I know you're the story you always tell, and you might want to tell it again about how you talk about the war is over. Mm-hmm. And I feel like my war has been over for 15 years now because, I'm 35 now. And yet I can't put my weapons down. And I talk about this all the time in my journal speak. I'm like, oh, look, you're carrying that weapon. You're carrying this weapon. Like, can we start putting this stuff down? And I struggle with putting it down. It's just like my body's like, nope, we're still in war. You know, we're going to keep going with how we've always lived.
What weapons do you think you're holding?
I think
help you because when you say I feel frustrated because my war has been over for 15 years and I'm still carrying these weapons, what behaviors, mm-hmm. what resistance, what happens where you feel like, man, I can't put it down?
I think the way that I interact with other people and the way that I interact with like situations is like one of the big ones. My huge social anxiety. I kind of feel like I walk on eggshells like constantly, not with like my closest friends and family, but like with just in general. I feel like I can't even open myself up enough to be myself, if that makes sense. Like, I just feel like I have to be in this small, tiny shell. And that I have to be as quiet and as small as possible, and that I can't have opinions, and that I have to keep everyone else happy.
Right, because of the little girl who needs to go to her room.
Yes.
Because God knows you don't want his wrath.
Yes.
Right. I am building my arsenal.
Okay.
So keep going.
Okay. And then I mentioned this in my email. The numbness. Oh my God, the numbness drives me insane. I feel like when I'm writing in my journal speak, I'm writing about these, not all the time, because of course I don't write about childhood every time, but I'm writing about awful situations and awful things, and it's just like, yeah, I don't feel anything. I don't cry, I don't scream, I don't do anything. I just kind of write it out and I'm like, oh yeah, that sucks. Or like, I feel numb. And I know that's a total defense mechanism. I've done it my whole life since I was a kid. But like, the thing that scares me about that is, how can I heal what I don't feel? You know? So I guess I'm just like nervous about that. And then there is deep shame. Oh my God, so much shame about being me. And I didn't even know that. Like, going into journal speak, I knew. I'm like, yeah, I hate myself. I know that I hate myself. That's not news. But in writing about that, I realized, oh my God, I'm ashamed of being myself. And I remember doing a child meditation. It's actually the one that you teach. And I was sitting with, you know, my inner child, and just over and over and over, she was saying, I am bad. I am bad. I am bad, over and over and over again. And it's like, what do I do with that? You know? And so there's just a lot of shame and a lot of grief. Grief for, I feel like I lost who I could have been if I wasn't such a damaged, awkward person. And I feel like I've lost so much connection with other people because I'm so quiet, because I'm so closed up. And so that kind of ties in with the social anxiety, you know, with just not being able to even talk to people, just feeling so scared to even be at all myself. So that's like most of my list there.
That's a fantastic, helpful information for me. Okay. So the first thing I want to say to you is, even though it feels as if you're not feeling, because you said, how can I heal what I don't feel? Yeah. Even though it feels as if you're not feeling, it's very important for you to recognize that feelings aren't facts. Feelings are informed by our past experiences, our triggers, and our trauma, but they are not facts. Feelings are perceptions, but we're so used to saying that our feelings, or at least operating as if our feelings are, you know, absolutely written in, carved in stone, that we sometimes miss the forest for the trees. And so what I want to say to you is, there is no way on this earth that you would have healed from all that incredibly painful physical stuff if you weren't feeling things. There's no way. And so I want you to know that even though you don't feel as if you're feeling things, your perception of it is that you're failing or that you're not getting to something you need to get to. There's so much going on underneath the surface right now that you don't even know about, because your physical symptoms, your brain and your nervous system are not emotional systems in your body. They are given information and they operate with the information. They're just the facts, ma'am, kind of systems in your body. And so if you weren't unearthing and actually integrating these experiences and feelings, you wouldn't be better. Your nervous system and your brain would continue to send those pain signals, because that would be sheer survival for you. Does that make sense?
It does. So it sounds like I'm focusing on the wrong thing. I'm focusing on what I think should happen as opposed to just doing the freaking work and knowing am I understanding that correctly? Like, don't
you,
focus.
You are.
Okay.
You are, but you're also, even in that reaction, being too hard on yourself. I'm like going to gentle up this entire situation. We're just
I'm really
like,
mean to myself. So thank you.
It's okay. It's okay. And I also want to say, just in personal reflection, because I know that you probably care about my opinion.
Yes.
I think you're so lovely, and I think you're so open, and I think you're right here with me. And you're, you know, you might be operating out in the world as socially anxious and closed because you're still healing some of that very thick shell that you built around yourself for safety, but you're showing up here. And you mentioned before we got on the air that you were called to do this. Your showing up here is proof that everything you need to be everything you want is in there. Because right now, if you hadn't said those things and I was just talking to you, I would never know. You are like, and everyone out there is like nodding their head, I promise you. Gosh. You are articulate, you're genuine, you're connected to your feelings, you're able to express yourself. It's incredible. So please know that.
Oh, that's... I see how skewed my own thinking is. And just to make a note of that, I did feel called to do this. It's just funny because I am such a closed up person. I am so private. And when I decided to do this, it was like, it nearly wasn't even me. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, how could I just be brave enough to do this? Like, this is the bravest fucking thing I've ever done. And it's like, where did this come from? So that's why I felt like it's almost like I was called to do it, because I know I'm not the only one. I know there are other people that are suffering like this, and this is hard shit. We got to talk about it.
Yes, 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 yes. Okay, so that's the first thing I just wanted to say, that feelings aren't facts, and that I know you think you're numbing up and you think you're not getting to it. But, you know, our experiences can only be absorbed with our readiness. And if indeed we didn't have these sort of protective measures that are innate to humans, we would be flooded with things we weren't ready for, and we would shut down because that would be the only protective posture we could take. And, you know, oftentimes I like to explain this, and if you've listened to all my podcasts, you've heard me say it, that you're a dry plant right now. Do you remember me talking about the dry plant?
Yeah.
Okay. So what the dry plant analogy is that you are dry just because you're a plant that, you know, maybe someone forgot to water. It's okay. We forgive. And I'm here dumping 3 gallons of water into your pot, and a certain amount of that is going to absorb, and a certain amount of that, as it should, is going to flow over the sides, because the plant, if it were inundated with that much water at the same time, would die. A plant cannot be drowned. A plant is so wise that it only absorbs at the rate that it can, which is why if you pour too much water in a dry plant, it's going to flow over the sides. So that's not a bad thing. That's actually a great thing. And what I believe happened to you is you have this lifetime of trauma, which did not end at age 19, because we all know we carry everything with us. More on that in a moment. And so you are now, at the moment you started your journal speak and your interaction with Curable, starting to pour that much needed water into this parched space in you that has needed love and attention and seeing and acknowledging. So you're doing that, and your first indication that this is working is that your physical pain went away, which is like, amen, hallelujah. You know, I know there's a lot of people out there like, damn, that's all I want, you know?
Right. And I was like, you can't smooth over that part. Like, you have to remember how much of like how horrible that physical shit was. But once you're past that, you kind of like, I don't want to say forget it, but yeah, I don't think about that much anymore, you know?
And that's the beauty of positivity and being able to move on. And I want to tell everyone out there, because, you know, it's not just Angela and I in this conversation, this will happen for you if you keep walking the path. You know, don't need it to happen any faster than it's happening, because each person has their true readiness, and true readiness is everything. So, you know, the fact that you started that and it started to integrate and your physical symptoms fell away and you are able to operate so beautifully within that patient acknowledging, like yesterday, you were having all these symptoms flare up. Why? Because sometimes we feel things in our hearts and sometimes we feel things in our bodies, and they're literally interchangeable. And so sometimes we can feel anxiety in our stomachs, and sometimes we can feel sadness in our chests, and we can feel anger in our back, and we can feel panic in our nerves, and it feels like fibro pain. It's okay. It's just normal. And as soon as you feel it, you can go, oh, hey there. Love you. I get it. I know we're full of feelings right now. We're doing that podcast tomorrow. We're full of feelings. And the way you're operating is just on point. I just need to say that, because that's exactly how we are able to let things go. There's no cure for human pain. There's a cure for chronic pain, because chronic pain is an epidemic of fear. But Angela is not scared of her symptoms anymore. They come. They're just information, right?
Yeah.
Their information.
Absolutely. Yep. And to add to what I did yesterday, I forgot to mention this. So I had downloaded your anxiety course when it came out, but I'm a super slow learner. So I've only done 2 courses so far. But yesterday when all that
stuff
was—
You mean two lessons.
2 lessons.
Yes.
And confused.
Okay. So when all that stuff came up yesterday, sorry.
All that stuff came up yesterday, and I was like feeling it. And I did like the pose. I did lesson one. I did it like in my journal speak, and it like helped. I felt so sick and nervous. And then I was like, oh my God, I feel actually like excited and great about this now. So I totally did like the lesson one with the pose. And it was like, it was awesome. So it was like kind of like a real time, like use the the stuff that I learned. It was really
amazing.
Cool. Yeah.
Let me elaborate for those who might not know what Angela's talking about. So in my anxiety course that she's taking, one of the pillars of it is this concept of POSE, which is an acronym which stands for pause, observe, stay and soothe, and embrace. And it's a process by which you learn to reframe the moment, which is what you did.
Yep. It was awesome.
That's amazing. So all these tools are working for you. So now let's get back to this problem. So, okay, this is the part of the real-time heal where I'm going to say shit you don't like.
I knew that was coming. Let's do it.
All right. And the reason is, and okay, so people out there, if you know me at all, or if you don't know me, now you'll know this. I am a very spiritual person. I am not a religious person. Not that it's bad to be a religious person. I'm just speaking from my own experience. I am a very spiritual person in that I believe very strongly that we are drawn to the energy that we need, that we put out the kind of energy that other people need, and that is the connectivity of all human beings and energy and nature. And I'm just like very, very big on that. And so when I hear someone say something like, I'm called to do this, like Angela said, almost feeling as if like it wasn't your fingers on the keyboard writing me that very, very vulnerable and, you know, share in your email. I can't help but say that obviously this is just 1 hour of your life, but it calls you to maybe break down some barriers of your old habits and behaviors and ideas and open yourself to new ones, because that's the only way we change.
Yes, and that's what I kept telling myself when I agreed to do this, is that this is a big barrier to be vulnerable like this. I've never let people be vulnerable, like, or see myself this vulnerable. And in fact, I'm not even sure like I'm going to tell anybody that I know that I'm doing this. Whether that's right or wrong, or
no,
I don't know.
There's no wrong.
But yeah, so I get what you're saying there. Yes.
Okay. So I'm only saying that because I know for a fact you're not going to like this, and you'll know why in a second. So I think it's you, and please tell me if it's not. You posted on the Journal Speak page the other day sharing a little bit about your story, about the alcoholism. Is that correct?
I didn't. That must have been somebody else.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, then that's so weird. Did you post at all on the Journal Speak community regarding this?
No, I have not.
Oh, that is so crazy. Okay, well then maybe you're not going to hate this. It was someone named Angela, and I know I had just, and she was specifically telling like kind of your story about growing up with significant alcoholism and feeling like she was blocked. Okay, well then this is even more weird and energetically connected than I thought. So the first thing I want to say, and because the reason I say I didn't think you were going to like it, is in that post, people were making suggestions along the lines that I'm going to make, and this Angela did not like those suggestions. But maybe I'll feel less, I'll find less resistance with you. Okay. So what I think we need to do for you, first of all, I want to say that the reason you wrote me is not a problem. We have to start there. You're not numb. You're not not getting to the emotions. You're not not feeling what you need to heal. You're doing it. It's just dry plant-like. So you're confused, because maybe a level of perfectionism or a level of shame is leading you to feel like you should be doing better or more. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. So that's not true. Let's start there. So I'm thrilled that you're on here and that we found a way to talk, but your complaint in your email that I thought I might find, which I thought when I read it, I might find someone super shut down, really not insightful, really struggling so hard to connect with any basic healing emotions. I am not finding that in you.
Well, that's good.
What I'm finding is a very normal, very natural, very human, very exactly where you need to be person who was raised with severe trauma and needs to find her way back to her essential humanity, because it was shut down out of necessity, because you were in survival mode for the first 19 years of your life.
Yeah.
That's what I'm finding. There's nothing about what that is like in that you're doing wrong or not enough. It's just the fact of the matter that when you say you have these tools, I'm sorry, these weapons that you can't lay down, of course you can't lay them down, because they indeed, as far as your nervous system is concerned, are still necessary to save your life, because you're still caught up in that trauma story, which is totally normal considering your situation. Mm-hmm. And similar to the nervous system not asking your permission or asking your opinion when it decides to act, that's why you feel like you can't let go of the weapon. So do you remember, I think it was kind of recently, I talked about that situation in London where I stepped off the curb with the double-decker bus.
No, I don't remember that one.
You know what? I might have talked about it on Instagram or in an interview. I'm always talking, so I never know where the hell things land. So I'll tell you here. And it's good because that means I haven't said it on the podcast. So a few years back, I was in London and I was downtown during a very busy time of the day. And I looked to the left if traffic was coming, which of course is the way that I thought I should be looking. And I stepped into the street. And by the time the double-decker bus whizzed past my face, literally to the point where I felt like it almost touched my nose, I was already back on the curb. I have no recollection, no memory of jumping back. Literally, my body did it for me, and I 1,000,000% would have been dead. That thing came flying from the right, which is where I should have been looking. It almost took my life. And the reason that I use this example is because had I been able to assert my opinion or to give permission to my nervous system to react, I would be dead because there'd be no time for that. The conscious mind needs time to allow something to sink in and to recognize it. And that's not the way the nervous system works. So for you, being molded in this space of complete chaos and terror, those weapons that you're holding of like keeping people at an arm's length or thinking you're different than others or thinking that, you know, you have to have a certain guard up and just feeling like generally socially uncomfortable, not being able to connect, those are like your freaking lifeblood. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Yeah. There are things that I don't even know how to begin to drop. I don't like them, but at the same time, they're what I know and they're what I automatically do. I mean, to the point of like, I don't want to say I don't trust people, but because I like people, I want to connect with people. Obviously, I'm on this freaking podcast because I care about other people so much that I'm willing to do this. But it's just, it's almost like I don't trust. I'm very much fear of rejection, fear of people seeing like the true me.
So my first question, and this is the place where Angela on the Facebook page didn't like this.
Oh, okay.
Have you attempted to do any 12-step work?
No, never.
Okay, because this is where I mean, this could legitimately change your life, and I don't use that term lightly. I have seen people go from completely shut down to the most connected, interactive, trusting, loving people from working an Al-Anon program.
I'm not opposed. I think that sounds scary, but yet mm-hmm. I'm so driven that I'm willing to try it.
I'll help you even after we get off air just to connect you because
okay.
The situation is this. I'm open about this on my podcast that I'm sober. And it's almost 6 years.
And congrats, girl.
Thank you. I am proud of it. And it has been an incredibly important thing I did for myself in my life. And having been sober for 6 years, I have a lot of ability because, you know, I'm in the world of it to see people work Al-Anon programs, not just other programs and not just people who need to get sober. And it's the most – I almost feel like the Al-Anon transformations I have seen – are even more powerful sometimes than people getting sober. And the reason is what you said first that I interrupted you and needed to note is that you operate feeling alone. You might not know it all the time, but your words speak it to me, which is even when it started when you were little, when you would go to school and other people would be talking about a TV show and you're like, guys, what the hell? We can't talk about I might die tonight, or my mother might. Like, can we like get real here? You know, that's not a joke. That's like incredibly separating for a child between themselves and what feels like everyone else. And that terminal uniqueness, which leads us to suffer and struggle and to become socially anxious, is the exact thing that is righted, that is changed, corrected, healed, soothed when people get into an Al-Anon program. Because what they do is it's a 12-step program. It's incredibly powerful. It's very honest. It's free. And it helps you be in a room with everyone who went through what you went through. And sometimes someone's story is going to be your story, and sometimes someone's story is going to be their child is a drug addict or an alcoholic. But the feelings of shame, the feeling of powerlessness, the feeling of aloneness is so the same. And you get to start to allow that little girl who had no shot of being able to connect with her classmates, you get to invite her in. And when you sit with her, instead of saying, I am bad, I am bad, I am bad, she's going to look at you and say, oh man, I might be bad, but look, you're here now. You're with me. I'm not alone. I still think I'm bad because, you know, that shit does not change overnight, but I'm not alone in my badness. Look at how she was also bad, and he was also bad, and she was also out of control, and she was terrified, and it's incredible.
I am completely open. I feel like that's maybe something I never even ever would have thought of at all.
It's the beginning of everything for you, honey, because the reason you're a dry plant is not because you're not doing all the right things. You're doing all the right things. You're a dry plant because we can't just reach back into our past and change what happened without the right tools. And I think that no matter how much personal work you do and how much curable listening and Nicole Sachs listening and all the amazing stuff you've done for yourself, you're going to hit a wall, which is what you keep saying. You know, you hit wall after wall without that connection that takes away that terminal uniqueness, that takes away that feeling of your situation is a situation that should be shameful because you live with it alone. And participation in these kind of programs, like I said, I've seen the most incredible transformations because as soon as that little kid is opened up to the fact that this was never shameful, this is a whole room of people that are going through the exact same thing, it's just incredible. And I'll help you connect where you need to be, but it's okay. I think that's a really important step for you.
I'm on board.
And, you know, it's kind of like short of saying nothing's wrong with you, short of saying you're doing everything right, short of saying that I feel the light of your energy right here through this computer, like I kind of feel like that's all you need. It's, you know, the process of being in an Al-Anon program is a journey. You know, I'm 6 years into my sobriety and that's my journey, and I'm changing and awakening and connecting more deeply with myself all the time. So, you know, what I'm suggesting is not like, okay, one and done, you know, you're going to do this and then you're fine. But what it is, it's another opening. It's another doorway. It's like if you were, I say this with my therapist sometimes, I feel like I'm playing a video game. My life is a video game and like I'm stuck in a world. Like in Mario Brothers or something. Yeah. I don't play this stuff anymore, but you know, I'm stuck in like world 4 and like, and so what I'm offering you is like the key to like opening up a new world.
Yeah. And wow, I get exactly what you're saying, that I can do all of this personal work and I'm doing it alone. But what I'm feeling and what hurts the most is the disconnection, I think, with others. And so I'm really excited. I'm really scared, but I'm really excited to take this big step.
Awesome. 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 And what's so weird about this conversation, just to get a little woo-woo.
Yeah.
I really thought that was you on the page. So Angela, whoever you are out there that wrote basically my Angela's story on the page, please listen to this girl being open, because Angela on the page, she wasn't being at all negative or rude. She just, when someone mentioned, well, have you tried, you know, Al-Anon or anything like that? She was like, no, that's not what I want to do. I'm not going to like sit in a meeting. Like, so her attitude was like just misguided that she, and I get it. Her attitude was like kind of feeling like that wasn't something that was going to help her with the kind of maybe quickness or something that she wanted, you know.
And it's funny too, because both the Angelas, like, that could have been me 6 months ago. I could have been like, nope, don't want to do that. But I'm in the place now where I'm like accepting of it. And yeah, that's so funny.
So wild. And, you know, and like I said, true readiness is everything. And that's, and you know, it's not just true readiness for ourselves with our personal growth. One of the things I've had to come to peace with a lot, and you're obviously very familiar with my work, so you know my passion, is that true readiness also applies to the universe and society as a whole. And sometimes when I have felt totally frustrated with why my work isn't being recognized more quickly, or why I'm not getting more attention from larger platforms that could really help me change the world, it's probably because the world isn't quite ready for me yet. You know, it is little by slowly, but you know, I wanted Oprah to call 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting. but I know now that it's because I have to be in total acceptance that true readiness is everything. And when the world at large is ready to hear this, that opportunity is just going to flow right to me. And I feel the same for you, that you obviously wrote that letter, and you didn't write it yesterday. You wrote it like what? Like a month back, maybe?
Yeah, just about.
Yeah. So, you know, you wrote that letter and then you waited. And then, you know, I actually was supposed to do a different real-time heal this week. It got canceled. So in short notice, you jumped to take the spot. And look, here you are, ready to hear what's being said. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes, absolutely.
So we're kind of rounding out the hour. Is there anything else that you wanted to ask me, Angela?
Oh my gosh. I guess the social anxiety stuff, I think that's the most painful stuff for me. And is there, I mean, do you think the Al-Anon stuff will kind of kick that in the butt? Or is there anything else you recommend as far as like the social anxiety stuff? Because that's killing me.
Well, you know, what I think about social anxiety is the outcome of a lot of things. It's not the problem in itself, it's the result. So for example, because you're feeling alone, and because that shame is big, and because you don't yet know how to lay down those weapons, the result is social anxiety. But it's not the problem, it's just the result. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so I think that don't seek to fix the social anxiety, just breathe. Practice your pause, practice the stuff you're learning in the anxiety course, which is all going to help you so much with the social anxiety, because it's the tools that you need to stop the results, and allow it to soften. You know, similar to pain cessation, everything kind of goes when it's ready to go. Your social anxiety is a shield because you're scared of being seen, because being seen might mean you're beat. So, I mean, that's pretty serious connection for a little kid.
Yes.
And I know he didn't physically beat you, but you didn't know that that wasn't going to happen.
Right.
And even if he didn't physically beat you, if he was emotionally and verbally assaulting you, you didn't want to call upon that.
That's for sure. Yep.
Yeah. And so, you know, the result is that you have these weapons that you hold close to your chest, even though intellectually you know the war is over. And the result is that it keeps you arm's length from other people, which is enacted through social anxiety. So don't worry about the anxiety. It will soften and it will leave as your readiness evolves through your Al-Anon work, through continued journal speak work, through revelations that, you know, this podcast, when people do it, this is what I hear consistently from real-time healers, is that there's sort of an initial awakening in the process of doing it, but that it kind of keeps unfolding sort of weeks and months later as you're doing the work and things come up and you're like, oh yeah, this, you know? So allowing that to just make sense. And then the final thing I'll say about that is when it starts to leave, you have to let it. And you know what that feels like because you've already allowed your physical pain to go. And what I find with some people is when their physical pain starts to go, they almost panic and they're like, is this too good to be true? And then they seize up and they don't let it. And so when you start feeling a little, let's say, gentler with the social anxiety, or maybe you feel like kind of called to be more vulnerable with someone that you are like a little iffy about, or maybe if you feel like, oh my God, I kind of want to reach out to person X, Y, and Z, you got to do it. Right? You got to believe it when you're being invited, kind of like what you did with me, because that's what starts to really cement change in your life.
And that is like, again, you're just like so smart. You like make things so simple. I never would have like thought of social anxiety like that. And everything you just said is like, yeah, duh, that makes sense. So thank you.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I've been doing this a long time. Yeah. You know, it's kind of my jam.
Right.
Well, I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed talking to you, Angela. I really think you're amazing. And I think that all the things that you worry are wrong with you are just beautiful fertilizer and, you know, seeds in the ground for what's going to grow into just a flowering beauty. And I just want you to know that.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Well, guys, this has been an incredible real-time heal. I am so pleased. Thank you, Angela, for being brave and coming on.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
And I hope everyone out there found a little piece of themselves in Angela's story. I am sure you guys did. And if you are enjoying this podcast, if it's meaning something to you, if it's helping you in any way, the way you can say thank you to me is just going over to iTunes and rating and reviewing it. It helps more people like Angela find this podcast and help themselves. And that means everything to me. So until next time, this is Nicole Sachs with The Cure for Chronic Pain. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.